إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. من بعد، it's always a pleasure to welcome all of you in our classes here, in which we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us and aid us to learn our religion. We continue tonight reading from the 10 points of benefits concerning the Muslim creed. Once again, how important this matter and this topic, because the aqidah, the creed, is the foundation that all of the rest of the deeds are built upon. If the foundation is sound, as in every structure, when you look at every building, any structure, the most important part in it is the foundation. Because if the foundation is strong, it will hold the building. But if the foundation is weak, doesn't matter what they build on it, all the beautiful things they build on it, it will collapse. Likewise, we are commanded to pray, to fast, give zakat, to make hajj, to give sadaqah, and all of these things. But if these things are not built upon sound aqidah, they will be of no benefits. Aqidah al-Tawheed, the creed of Islamic monotheism. This creed that all of the prophets call to, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, in Surah An-Nahl, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ يَعْبُدُوا اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. And we have sent amongst every nation a messenger saying to his people, worship Allah alone. That's called to Tawheed. And avoid the Taghut, meaning avoid worshipping the false deities besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every messenger called his people to this. The first thing every messenger called to is the Tawheed. They correct the creed because it's the foundation. So that's what the rest of the deed is going to be built upon. No messenger or prophet ever came and the first thing he called people, don't do this, don't eat this, don't look at this. No, foundation is Tawheed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he spent 13 years in Mecca calling the people to Tawheed, to say La ilaha illallah. The ahkam, all the rules and regulations except for the salat, they were all revealed in Medina after the Hijrah. And that shows the importance of Tawheed, because that's what brings the hearts together. It's not enough to bring the bodies together. Sometimes you bring bodies together, but if their hearts are not together, you have a lot of problems. If you bring 100 people in one room, but they're all, everyone on another page, you got a big problem on your hand. But if their hearts are on one thing, alhamdulillah, it doesn't matter, even if they come from different countries, they don't look the same, they don't speak the same dialect. This one from Asia, this one from Europe, this one from Africa, this one from North America, this one from South America, this one is an Arab, this one is a Persian, this one is non-Arab, this one is black, this one is white, this one is rich, this one is poor, this one is a prince, this one is a slave. But they all, when it comes to the worship, if they are upon the right aqidah, you see the brotherhood displayed. And they respect each other and they love each other for the sake of Allah. Why? Because nothing can unite the Muslims upon the unity that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than Tawheed. And that's what unites the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and made them therefore the best of this ummah. Tawheed. Because Tawheed has settled in their hearts. and the aqidah, they were upon the right and sound creed. Even though some of them, they used to be enemies one to another before Islam, in Jahiliyyah. Because they used to belong to different tribes. And those tribes, they used to fight one another for silly reasons, for no reason sometimes. But once Allah guide them to Islam and the aqidah settled firmly in their hearts, they become brothers to one another and they forget all what had happened before. Because Allah is the one who unite and join their hearts. Now you find certain people, they call, no, we're going to bring all the Muslims, doesn't matter, Sunni, no Sunni. You can't do that. We're not going to bring new ways. And we have the Quran and we have the Sunnah. What is that that the Prophet ﷺ used? And he worked to unite and join the hearts of these strong, respected, beloved companions, that we respect them and we love them for the sake of Allah. And we are commanded to follow their footsteps. Not money that brings them together, not possessions that brings them together. Money separate people, possessions separate people. Nothing, the ulama, they mention, nothing brings the people together, and of course, the unity that is pleasing to Allah, than Tawheed, than Islamic monotheism, than adhering to that which the Prophet ﷺ left for us. I just want to remind you once again of the importance of this matter of Tawheed and Aqeedah. And that is, this is the path. Actually, this is the path of and the methodology of all prophets and all messengers. All of them, they call to the same thing. There is not a single prophet or messenger except that he said to his people, Ya qawmi a'budu Allah ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. So it should be the first thing that we study ourselves. We teach our children. And this is what the masajid is supposed to be based upon. The classes of the masajid, the khutab of Yawm al-Jumu'ah, the classes, supposed to be upon this, upon the Tawheed. Because Allah created us for it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ قَالَ غَيْرُ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ السَّلَفِ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ وَمِنْهُمْ بْنُ عَبَّاسِ وَغَيْرُهُ لِيَعْبُدُونَ أَيْ لِيُوَحِدُونَ لأن العبادة لا تسمى عبادة إلا مع التوحيد كما قال شيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى في القواعد الأربع. Allah created us for Tawheed, to single Him out in worship, to worship none but Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He alone deserves to be worshipped subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah tells us in Surah Al-Dhariyat, and I have not created the jinn and the human being except to worship me. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, one of the main companions of the Messenger of Allah sallam, amongst others, they say to worship meaning through Tawheed. Because an act of worship will be of no benefit without Tawheed. Without Tawheed. The same way, the Salat is not accepted without Tahara. Can you imagine someone praying with no wudu? No wudu, he's praying. To the people, yes, they can say, yeah, he always pray, always in the first row. But that person standing in front of Allah has no Salat. Why? Because he never performed purification. Likewise, if Muslims, and this is a sad reality by the way, you find in many places on earth, whether in Muslim countries in Asia or Africa or elsewhere, you will find Muslims, yes, they pray, they fast, maybe some of them made hajj, but they commit shirk. They still believe that somebody in the grave can help them or assist them to cure his mother or give him boys because he's been getting only daughters. And some of them slaughter for those people, some of them slaughter for the jinn, some of them fear the jinn. And all of these are acts of shirk, wal-iyadu billah. Because these are the slaughter, the istighatha, the isti'ana, the khashya, the dua. All of these are acts of worship. And they have to be performed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it's very important for us as Muslims, the da'i, especially the du'at, especially the a'imma of the masajid, and those people who are in charge of the masajid too, they have to keep this in mind, that the most important thing, why this masjid is open, we make sure that the people who attend this masjid, their aqidah is sound. Not to keep the people do whatever they want to do. And then when somebody talk about the aqidah, then others they says, look, akhi, this is going to divide the people, because some people, they don't want to give up what they grow up upon. We're going to tell them, look, you have to be sincere. You have to tell the people what is right, whether they like it or not. Not everybody going to like what you say. People, they didn't like what the messenger said. The messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they didn't like what he said. But we have to say what is right. Now they said, look, ya akhi, there is some very important people in this community. They give some good donations. And if you start talking about bidah, innovation, start talking about aqidah, tawheed, they're going to leave and we're going to lose money. So is it the masjid now is open for money? Al-masajid lillah. The masajid are Allah's places. And the tawheed has to be taught in them. The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Of course in a good way. Make things easy and matters easy for the people. And we depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't depend on what the people give or don't give. We depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we stick to the path that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left the companions, ridwanullahi alayhim upon. After this brief reminder for myself, of course, and then for you, insha'Allah ta'ala, we continue reading with the sixth benefit, the sixth of the 10 benefits of aqidah. By our noble Shaykh Al-Allamah Al-Muhaddith Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad Al-Badr حفظه الله تعالى ومتعه بالصحة والعافية وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. And we steal from his introduction, because he mentioned this 10 points of benefits and related to aqidah in his book قطف الجنداني, the explanation of مقدمه ابن ابي زيد القيرواني. Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, he was from the ulama of the Malikiyya. Al-Malikiyya, who followed the madhab of Imam Malik in fiqh. And he was upon the aqidah of the Salaf. Like Imam Malik, he was upon the aqidah of the Salaf. Likewise, the a'imma of a Salaf, they were upon that which the Prophet ﷺ left the companions upon. So Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, he has these lines of poetry that talks about the aqidah of the Muslims. And then the Shaykh Hafidahullah, he explained them. The Shaykh, he explained this, the aqidah of Ibn Abi Zayd al-Qayrawani, rahimahullah ta'ala. It's very, very, very beneficial. Maybe one other time we can read that. إن شاء الله تعالى. الفائدة السادسة كل من المشبهة والمعطلة جمعوا بين التمثيل والتعطيل. This sixth benefit is a continuation to the previous points 2 and 3, 3, 4 and 5. نعم. Which the Sheikh he was talking about the names and attributes of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. The aqidah that every Muslim should have as related to the names and the attributes of Allah. What do you believe in the names and the attributes of Allah? And as a reminder, that we affirm for Allah what He has affirmed for Himself. We only affirm those names and attributes for Allah that He Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has affirmed for Him in His book, or His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has affirmed for Him. And also, in the same way, the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim understood these names and attributes. And therefore, by this, based on these principles, we will know who deviated from the right path. As there is some sects who they went far away from the truth when it comes to the aqidah that the Muslim should have as related to the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such certain groups, they fall into tashbih, while others they fall into ta'til. A sect that they likened the attributes of Allah to those of His creation, wal-iyadu billah, which is forbidden. It's prohibited. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not resemble His creation, nor His names or His attributes, subhanahu wa ta'ala. While other sects, they deny the attributes. They say Allah has no attributes, wal-iyadu billah. And we learned before that these people, why they deny the attributes, out of fear to fall into tashbih. They said, look, for them, because of their wicked intellect and understanding, because they didn't adhere to the understanding of the Salaf, which is the companions, radhiyallahu alayhim, who they affirm for Allah a hand. Because Allah affirmed for Himself the hand. Allah affirmed for Himself a face. Okay? So the Sahaba, radhiyallahu alayhim, they says, yes, we believe that Allah have a hand, have a face. Why? Because Allah says in the Quran. And the Prophet says in authentic hadith. But how is this hand or face? Allahu alam. We don't know. We don't know. Only Allah knows how is this hand. We don't know the true nature of these attributes. But one group, they say, no, the hands of Allah resemble the hands of the creation, wal-iyadu billah. While another group, they says, look, they don't want to fall into the same mistake of these people. They say there is no attributes. Why? It says because if they affirm a hand of Allah, for Allah, then the people have hands, so Allah resemble and all of that, because they use their intellect and they come up with new ways of understanding this text, while they were commanded in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to adhere to the way of the companions radhiyallahu alayhim. Here the Shaykh mentioned that, and I mentioned this introduction because I see some new faces, and I want to make sure, you know, that the people who just came to this class, because this is the seventh class, I just want to make sure that the people, you know, they at least they know where we are, not like they know what he's talking about. So at least I want to. So I apologize for those who's been here regularly, but hey, mashallah, me sir, it's good for both parties. So those who are here, mashallah, they know where we are. And mashallah, this is as a reminder for those people, alhamdulillah, that was here. He says, كُلُّ مِنَ الْمُشَبِّهَ وَالْمُعَطِّلَ جَمَعُوا بِنَ التَّمْثِيلُ وَالتَّعْطِيلِ. Both مُشَبِّهَ وَالْمُعَطِّلَ, they combine between تَمْثِيل وَالتَّعْطِيلِ. قَالَ الْمُعَطِّلَ هُمُ الَّذِينَ نَفَوْا صِفَاتِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَلَمْ يُثْبِتُوهَا عَلَى مَا يَلِيقُ بِاللَّهِ. So remember, the Shaykh says the Mu'attila, this deviant group, they are those who deny the attributes. Allah says in the Quran about affirm for Himself attribute. These people, they says, no, Allah don't have no attributes. And they do not affirm for Allah that which He has affirmed for Himself in a way that befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَشُبْهَتُهُمْ أَنَّ إِثْبَاتَ الصِّفَاتِ يَسْتَلْزِمُ التَّشْبِيهِ. Their shubha, what is their problem? Where they went wrong? They were wrong because they say, they use their intellect, and they thought that automatically, if they affirm this attribute, automatically they liken that attribute to that of the creation. لأنه لم يتصور الصفات إلا وفقا لما هو مشاهد في المخلوقين فجرهم ذلك التصور الخاطئ إلى التعطيل. Why? Because they could not understand, except that when they hear a hadith or an ayah that affirm, for example, the hand for Allah, their intellect takes them only to the hands of the human being. And they're like, see? You see? They couldn't see it the other way. As the Sahaba Ridwanullah alayhim, he says, yes, Allah has a hand, but it's not like the hands of the creation. Why? Because Allah says, what's the ayah? لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that resembles Allah. That's it. Even though, yes, the hand, but they are not the same. And Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to give intellectual answers. Answers based on intellect. He would give answers from the text, from the Quran and Sunnah. And also these people, because they don't see it, so because they use intellect, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he used to refute them by using intellect as well. So he said to them, okay, for you that you're saying, you do not affirm the hand, for example, for Allah, because if you do so, now you're resembling Allah's hand to the hand of the creation, because the creation have a hand, the people have a hand. He said, okay, what dog have a hand too? Does it mean that the dog hand look like your hand? He says, not the same. So alhamdulillah, فكان ما وقعوا فيه أسوأ مما فروا منه إذ كانت النتيجة أن يكون الله تعالى وتنزه شبيها من المعدومات إذ لا يتصور وجود ذات خالي من الصفات. So now these people, this group, this divine group, المعطلة, who deny the attributes of Allah, they did it because they don't want to fall into something. What is that they don't want to fall into?
Tashbih.
But they fall in something worse than that. They fall in something worse than tashbih. Tashbih is to liken the attributes of Allah to those of His creation. Because that's what the mu'attila. Mu'attila meaning they deny. They say, look, there is no attributes. Why there is no attributes? They say, look, because if you affirm the hand, well, you have hands, man. So now you're saying that Allah have hands. You and me have hands, so now we're resembling the hands of Allah to our hands. That's what their intellect tell them. So they want to escape that. They don't want to fall into that according to what they claim, and they fall into something worse. What is it?
Denying
the existence of Allah. Because the Shaykh said, that's impossible for something to exist and have no attributes. No attributes. Somebody says he has a car. He just bought a car. And he said, the tires are 17 inch or 20 inch. No tires. No tires. Yeah, his car has no tires. No tires. Okay. Four doors or two doors? Does it come with no doors? What are we talking about here? Huh? No, what are we talking about? This man has what? He bought a car. No doors. Engine, four cylinders or eight, six, V6, no cylinder. Transmission, no transmission. Two row seat, three row, no seat. So what are you going to say to this man? You got no car, man. You don't have a car. There's no such thing. A car has no tires, no engine, no transmission, no body, no seats. Well, what car is this? Even a toy cars have wheels, man. طيب, لابس. If you said that to a 3-year-old, then look, I'm going to Walmart, I'm going to buy your truck. But he has no tires, no this. He's like, I mean, what truck is that? I never heard of a truck like that. A kid. Hey, subhanAllah. Fitra, ya akhwan. Ala ayin. ويقترح ذلك في صفة كلام الله عز وجل فإنه لم يتصور من إثبات أن الله يتكلم بحرف وصوت إلا التشبيه بالمخلوقين. An example the Shaykh mentioned is the speech of Allah. He says, no, there is no such thing. Allah does not speak. Even though in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. Allah spoke to Musa. Now Allah spoke to Musa. And many other ayat and ahadith. نعم. But then they says no. Why? This is because people speak. Human beings speak. If they says Allah speaks, so now Allah resembles the human being. Because He speaks and the people they speak as well. And they said, look, because the people, they speak, and meaning how the people speak. They use what? Huh? They use a tongue. What else? What else? Lips. The throat. So that's what they say, the Sheikh said. They said, so therefore, if we're going to say that Allah speaks, we have to, this is what they say. So we have to affirm that Allah has a tongue, has two lips, and have a throat. Yes. See, they go too far. Something that Allah didn't say. The Prophet ﷺ didn't affirm for him. Nobody from the Sahaba came with this understanding. You find these people because they are upon dalal. Okay? So now they deny that. Because they don't. Because see, that's why the aqidah is very important. You gotta believe in this, ya akhwan. When the text comes to us in the Quran, you take it. You know, you never say, is this ayah sahih sound or not? Quran, sahih. Matnan wa ma'na. There is no such thing as ayah in the Quran. You gotta like, oh, what Shaykh al-Albani said about it. What this ulama said about it. No, when it comes to hadith, yes, you may say, oh, this hadith is not in Bukhari and Muslim. So what the ulama says about this hadith? It is sahih, it is hasan, is it weak? Some of the hadith are fabricated. People lie. Now, people, they lie and they come up with the hadith. Especially people who they want to get somewhere, and they cannot do it except with the people that vote for them and rally behind them. So they gotta bring them some hadith, because the people, they say, hey, you're talking about doing this for Allah. Hey, you didn't bring no ayah, no hadith. So, oh, okay, here is a hadith. They come up with a hadith. Some people, they do this, they fabricate the hadith for different reasons. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala, maybe I shared this with you before, but inshallah we can repeat it. Shaykh al-Albani, he was talking about the reasons that make certain people fabricate a hadith, which is very bad, by the way. That's an evil act, to lie on the Messenger of Allah, to come up with a fake isnad. I heard from so-and-so, Abu Huraira, the Prophet says, but never the Prophet said anything. They make that for a reason. He mentioned, for example, certain people, they do it for money, for business. And he mentioned an example, rahimahullah. He said there was this man who was selling fish. Kana yabi'u samak. He was selling a fish in this area, in this market. And for whatever reason, maybe those people, they don't know what fish is. I don't know, for whatever reason, nobody buy from him. And next to him, he was another man who was selling dates. Balah, dates. There is a line on this man. This man is making good money. Can you imagine next to someone, he's making good money, cannot even scratch his head like we say. This man, nobody even tell him, hey, what's going on? What's that? Finally, he got tired and he has to come up with a hadith, because at that time, the people, they were people of hadith and this and that. But the layman's always, they don't know. They love the sunnah, they don't know the terminology of hadith. So this man, the sheikh came up with the hadith. And he said, oh, when we have big people, he said, my brothers, listen up. I got this hadith from the Prophet ﷺ for the virtue of eating fish. They're like, what? A hadith? What is it? He said, حدثنا فلان. He even said, فلان عن فلان, فلان from فلان, from Abu Huraira. Prophet ﷺ says, إِذَا أَبْلَحْتُمْ فَأَسْمِكُوا. That the Prophet ﷺ says, whenever you buy date, you got to buy fish with it. The laymen, they began to buy fish. Yeah, okay, give me 2 kilos, give me 3. They didn't know. Jahl. Ay na'am. And the Shaykh, he refuted them. I'll give you a summary to what the Shaykh mentioned, because we dealt with these matters before, and also in the class of Tuesdays, alhamdulillah, from the explanation of Aqidat al-Salaf, Ashab al-Hadith, of Imam al-Sabuni, Abu Uthman al-Sabuni, rahimahullah, from the great Imam of the Salaf of the past, the explanation of our noble Shaykh, al-Allama, الدكتور ربيع بن هادي المدخلي حفظه الله on Tuesday classes. Remember, we dealt with these matters, alhamdulillah, in details. But we give you a summary. The Shaykh says, this claim of these people, the Mu'attila, is futile and is void and rejected. Why? Because, first of all, nothing looks or resembles Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah tells us in the Quran, Kareem, laysa kamithlihi shay. And on top of that, it is He, Allah, who affirmed for Himself these attributes, whether in His book or on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for them to deny the attributes of Allah, that Allah has no attributes and still believe that Allah exists, subhanAllah. So they believe in something that not exists actually. The Shaykh said that it's impossible for something to exist but have no attributes. And he said, remember the example that Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned from Hamad ibn Zayd. Hamad ibn Zayd, when he gave the example of these people, the Mu'attila, who they believe in Allah, but they don't believe, they don't attribute attributes, they don't affirm attributes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? He says it's like this person who said he has, what was the example, you remember? This man says, Ahsan, he has a nakhla in his house. This man who says he has a palm tree, and let's give you the example of the car. And then a man says, we have a tree, palm tree, yeah. He has a trunk, no trunk. Has leaves? No leaves. Produce dates and fruits? No. So he says, look, you got no palm tree in your house. Because people didn't know what the palm tree looked like. So, أي نعم. الفائدة السابعة متكلمون يذمون علم الكلام ويظهرون الحيرة والندم. See what led these people to this is them not adhering to the way of the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم. That's why it's very, very important to adhere to the Quran, no doubt, we Muslims. Because this religion is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Min Allahi risala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to us, to all mankind, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the best of the creation, and he is the seal of all prophets and messengers, and he revealed to him the best book and the final book, Quran, Al-Quran Al-Azim. And the Prophet ﷺ has indeed conveyed the message. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed and perfected this religion. Before the Prophet ﷺ died, this religion is complete. And we are commanded to adhere to the Quran and the Sunnah, but with the understanding of the best of this Ummah, the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, especially Al-Khulafa Al-Rashidun. أبو بكر عمر عثمان علي رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. So we have to understand this text of the Quran and the Sunnah, and especially in matters of Aqidah, as understood by the companions Ridwanullahi alayhim and those generations that adhere to what the companions Ridwanullahi alayhim they were upon. But these people, they went into these problems because they give precedence to intellect over the texts. Instead to adhere, instead to say, okay, how the companions dealt with this ayat and ahadith, or they did this, bismillah, they're the best, alhamdulillah, kafa. This is the best way. This is the only safe way and the right way, by the way. Now these people, they're like, no, come on, I'm going to use the intellect. Allah gave us intellect, let's... And they keep talking, going here and going there. For years, rhetoric, they call it the rhetoric, al-kalam. But still those people who for years been upon this wrong path, to some of them towards the end of their lives, before they die, they regret embarking themselves upon that path. Now, they regret. قال الشيخ حفظه الله عقيدة أهل السنة والجماعة مبنية على الدليل من كتاب الله عز وجل وسنة رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وما كان عليه صحابته الكرام رضي الله عنهم وأرضاهم. He says the عقيدة, the creed of أهل السنة والجماعة is built upon دليل. As we mentioned to you before, the creed is not taken from dreams like Sufiya do. A Sufi comes, he has a dream, that's it. Now that's their عقيدة. Or from what the majority is upon, or from what this tribe is upon, or the other tribe over there is upon. The aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is built upon proofs from the Book of Allah and from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, with the understanding of the companions of Ridwanullahi alayhim. So therefore, فَهِيَ صَافِيَ نَقِيَّ وَاضِحَ جَلِيَّ لَيْسَ فِيهَا غُمُود وَلَا تَعْقِيد. So therefore, the creed of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is clear, pure. There is no ambiguity in it, no complications, no confusion whatsoever in it. بخلاف غيرهم الذين عولوا على العقول وتأولوا النقول وبنوا معتقداتهم على علم الكلام المذموم الذي بين أهله الذين ابتلوا به ما فيه من أضرار وندموا على ما حصل منهم من شغل الأوقات فيه من غير أن يدفروا بطائل ولا أن يصلوا إلى حق وفي نهاية أمرهم صاروا إلى الحيرة والندم فمنهم من وفق لتركه واتباع طريقة السلف وجاء عنهم عيب علم الكلام وذمه. But now you find certain people that they were misguided, they went astray. Instead to adhere to the way of the Sahaba رضوان الله عليهم, now they put their intellects before the texts. And they began, yes, some of them, they affirmed the attribute, but they said it doesn't mean the hand, it means the power, for instance. They give and they present false interpretations that no one from the companions or from those best generations have ever spoken about. So therefore they build their creeds upon the rhetoric, ilm al-kalam, that some of those people who for years, many years, who were upon this dalala and this falsehood, and they were calling to it, fighting for it, refuting others, disputing with others. Now they say, look, they regret wasting all that time for that. Because in the end, they find themselves, they were just walking in a big maze. There's no way out. Couldn't find no way out from it. And they didn't get to the truth they were hoping to get into. They get nothing but confusion and regret. The more they go deep into that rhetoric, the more they get confused. And the path gets dark. The Shaykh said, some of them, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them tawfiq, and they follow the way of the Salaf. They followed the way of the Salaf. And they wrote books, alhamdulillah, which they refute this tariqah of ilm al-kalam, the rhetoric that is bad and is wrong, but rather the way of the Salaf, that was the companions of Ridwanullahi alayhim they were upon. That's the right way. I give an example. قال فأبو حامد الغزالي رحمه الله من المتمكنين في علم الكلام ومع ذلك فقد جاء عنه ذمه بل والمبالغة في ذمه ولا ينبئك مثل خبير جاء ذلك عنه في كتاب إحياء علوم الدين حيث بين ضرره وخطره. An example he mentioned is Abu Hamid al-Ghazali رحمه الله. This man, he wasn't just a scholar in this علم, علم الكلام. He was a main scholar. He was an ocean. This man, he was amazing in the knowledge, but he was upon this dalal, wa'iyadu billah. He was upon the kalam, ilm al-kalam, the rhetoric. But towards the end of his life, alhamdulillah, he, even in his book, Ihya Ulumuddin, who the ulama, they don't advise the people to read. He still, even in that book, in the page, he says 91 to 92, he has despised and refuted Ilm al-Kalam himself. That he was upon and calling to and fighting for and disseminating and the like, but he himself had refuted it. Inshallah, we're going to stop here. We continue next week, inshallah ta'ala. As we mentioned before, these classes are, you look at them, it's just like, it gave us like a jump start or something like that, if you want to look at it this way. But we still have to do the work at home. Still have, it's like this class now, Aqeedah, once a week. This is a very important subject matter. We have to get the books of Aqeedah, the Aqeedah of the Sahaba, the Aqeedah of the Salaf, and we have to read. We have to read, alhamdulillah, not 10 hours a day, but at least be consistent and read the book like Thalathat Usul, Kitab al-Tawheed, Qawaid al-Arba, Kashf al-Shubuhat, Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah, and you read this. If you have lectures of the ulama, if you know Arabic, there are many lectures of Sheikh Ibn Baz, Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, and Sheikh Al-Fawzan, and many, Sheikh Rabi'a, and Sheikh Al-Ulama, Sheikh Ubaid, Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Ulama of Ahlul Sunnah Al-Jama'ah, and students of knowledge as well, and other Mashayikh, whether it be in this country or the other, as long as they are upon the way of the Salaf, the way of the Sahaba, and listen to those lectures. If you don't know the Arabic, there are lectures who are translated, alhamdulillah, by some students of knowledge who are upon the right path. They're translated into so many languages, translated into English, French, Spanish, Urdu, in many, many languages, alhamdulillah. You have to read these things. The Aqeedah is very important. Because if a person dies upon the Aqeedah, upon Tawheed, alhamdulillah, that's good for that person. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us firm upon the Tawheed and keep us to die as a Muslims upon the Tawheed. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa taslimu kathira.